You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Tuesday's edition where we're looking ahead to the action at Hexham and Hamilton. Sam Norris here, joined by Gareth Topham to spin you through a couple of races and of course the Racing Post Monday jury. Alongside those meetings at Hamilton and Hexham, we've got racing at Goodwood to come on Tuesday afternoon, Kempton Park in the evening, and racing on the beach at Laytown as part of their annual meeting on the beach. That's all to come on Tuesday. You can join myself alongside Andy Holding and Craig Forsyth in the studio, but as promised, Gareth Topham is the man joining me on today's edition of the podcast. Gareth, are you well?
Yeah, not too bad. Currently dealing with a bit of a, not a crisis, but a sorting out a mortgage.
And it's the most
boring and stressful and horrible thing that I've done for quite some time, as it is with any mortgage, I think.
Yes, it's very rare that you hear someone who's had a pleasant mortgage experience.
Oh, it's just such a lot of, you know, messing about, faffing about, waiting for things, having to sign things and send them back off. Yeah, it's nice to be in work because it's just a complete distraction.
Yes, indeed. You can completely take your mind off it. Let's start with the Racing Post Monday jury then, as we always do on Tuesday's edition of the podcast. There's some interesting questions on the jury this week, Gareth, starting with Winter, who's very much been the star of her generation this season. And if she were to take on the boys in the Irish Champion Stakes, how do you see things panning out? She's barely put a foot wrong this season, and it would be great to see her against the Colts.
Yeah, it would. And it'll be interesting to see out of the Colts who actually turns up. Of course, Winter representing Aidan O'Brien, and maybe of the boys, you know, the likes of Churchill again, it's Aidan O'Brien. Are they actually going to face each other? But, you know, she just keeps on going from strength to strength, this filly, and she's winning impressively as well. That's the thing. And I don't think it's been the strongest year for the three-year-old Colts in particular.
Yeah.
The fillies really have taken the flat season by storm so far this season, of course, with Enable as well. I mean, they are the two superstar standout three-year-olds, aren't they, this term, Winter and Enable. And Winter, by taking on the boys, I mean, Enable's gone and done it. She did it in the King George and actually beat one or two of these, which might be up against Winter if she were to go for the Irish Champion Stakes. I think Winter's got every chance of going very close if she were to turn up. I think at the moment the Aidan O'Brien team may be leaning towards Churchill running, for which with us here at William Hill is quite a short price. But for me, Churchill, he's been a bit disappointing this season.
Yeah, definitely so. The Ascot run, we all sort of thought, oh, that definitely wasn't his true running. But then he kind of followed it up again at York in getting beat, albeit by a horse who's clearly improving in Ulysses. But
yeah, an older horse. He ran all right at York. I mean, he was in that wave of three, wasn't he, as they hit the furlong marker. He's got a little bit tired late on. You know, it was a much better run. I don't think it was a disappointing run, whereas Royal Ascot, it was disappointing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think he needs a little bit more, particularly if he were to come up against it this Winter, who is just absolutely thriving as a three-year-old. And of course, she'd get the fillies. Would she get the fillies allowance as well?
I think so, yes.
Yeah,
I believe so.
I think Winter would be a tough nut to crack. And I mean, of the others in the race, you're looking at Highland Reel, Cliffs of Moher. I mean, it's all Aidan O'Brien, isn't it?
Yes.
So, and Highland Reel's very, very solid, but he might just be vulnerable to something a little bit younger with that turn of speed.
Okay. On the theme of Aidan O'Brien hot pots then, the next question, another Irish St. Ledger for Order of St. George or Big Orange to slay him. Of course, it's a race that Order of St. George has won the last twice, and Big Orange, he's had some tough races, Gareth.
He has, and that would be my main sort of reservation with Big Orange. He's a very lovable horse. He's got a big heart, and everybody's latched on to his name. You know, he's big in size. Everything about him is big, and his will to win is big as well. But as you say, Sam, he's had some hard races. The Ascot Gold Cup, yes, he won it, but my goodness, he was pushed all the way home, wasn't he? And then he went on to Goodwood, where again he had a hard race that time in defeat. And is he better over a slightly longer trip than what the Irish St. Ledger is at as well? We know with the Order of St. George, you know, he's got a touch of that sort of middle distance quality about him as well. He can mix it at 2 miles, 2.5, also 1.75 miles. Big Orange is quite a bit bigger in price. But I think, at around about sort of 4-1, we're taking no chances. I think they're the two very solid ones in the race as things stand. But Order of St. George, I think, would be likely to be very difficult to beat again.
8-11 then for Order of St. George in a race which he has a particularly good record in, of course. Matters this side of the Irish Sea then coming up this weekend surround the big race at Haydock, of course, the Sprint Cup Stakes, where Harry Angel is 6-4 favourite for this, 9-2 about Brando, 6s for Caravaggio, 8-1 for Blue Point, Limato, Tazleet and the Tin Man. 10s bar, he's looked very much the real deal the last few occasions, Gareth, but there's been a very positive write-up for Connections of Brando. Can he get the better of Harry Angel?
I mean, I was up at here last year when this horse won the Ear Gold Cup, and we thought then, you know, he was a real class act, Brando, and he's proved it, hasn't he, so far this season. But then again, so as the slightly younger Harry Angel, and I was really impressed with this horse in the July Cup. I mean, that was, you know, the top sprint of the season, really, wasn't it, for these horses? And they all met. It was billed as being, you know, one of the races of the decade, you know, in terms of sprinters, really. And Harry Angel came out on top. I thought he was going away at the end, and there were no excuses for the ones in behind. So I think we're forecast a pretty dry week as well. So hopefully the ground will be nice and fair for them all at Haydock. And on what that July Cup proved, I think Harry Angel is the one that they've got to go and beat. He's got less question marks than most of his opposition.
Yeah, 6-4 then for Harry Angel. From the sprinters back to the staying division then, and the William Hill St. Ledger is just a couple of weeks away, and it at least looks a pretty open heat this year, Gareth. 7-2 favourite Crystal Ocean. Capri, obviously the Irish Derby winner at 4-1. Stradivarius, 9-2. 6s for Defoe. Coronet is 8-1, and 10-1 in bigger prices the rest. You could give chances to quite a few.
Yeah, it's building up to be a brilliant renewal of the St. Ledger, isn't it? Very open, as you say, and I'm sure we're going to have a really exciting finish. I respect Crystal Ocean for all that his form so far has been in lesser company, Group 2 and Group 3s, but he's been winning. I mean, he won at Goodwood really, really well, and he'd been beaten by Permian the twice before. They were good efforts in defeat behind a class horse that's sadly no longer with us. But I've always been a bit of a Capri fan. I liked him as a two-year-old, and the season perhaps didn't start off all that strongly for Capri, but he soon put that right when coming home in front in the Irish Derby last time out, which I think may have been a little bit to the surprise of his Connections as well, because there were one or two others in the race which were probably a little bit better fancied. But I mean, he came home ahead of Cracksman on that occasion. Sadly, we're not going to be seeing Cracksman in the Ledger. I think if we did, I think he'd win. But to actually beat Cracksman by a neck, I thought that was one hell of a performance. And I think the step up in trip, another 2 furlongs, would suit him. From a personal point of view, I've called Defoe home up at Hamilton this season, and he's a horse that, you know, I really do like. And, you know, he's a real class individual who seems to be improving race by race. He's won his last four now, Defoe. He followed up his Hamilton win with another ready success at Newbury last time. And for me, he is an improver, but he might just need to improve again. You wouldn't rule it out. He's in at around about 6-1 with us here at William Hill. I think he rates a good each way bet. But for me, the class horse in the race, the Group 1 winner, the Derby winner, is the Irish Derby winner, and that's Capri. For me, he's the one they've got to beat.
Okay, Capri 4-1, and then Defoe, another one that Gareth mentioned there, in the betting at 6-1. Just a quick look ahead to next year's classics then. And do you feel that Saturday's Solario winner, Massar, has real classic potential? Of course, the Solario Stakes is a race that's thrown out the likes of Kingman in the last few years. Massar, a tentative 25-1 for next year's Derby. Early to be talking about next year's classic contenders, but where does Massar rank for you?
Yeah, it is early, isn't it, to be talking about the classics. As you alluded to, Kingman's probably the best winner that Solario Stakes has thrown out in recent years.
Yes.
And that Saturday that we've just had gone, I always find that is one of the weaker Saturdays, generally, of the summer period. But Massar was a bit of a highlight, wasn't he, on Saturday? He won that race in ready fashion. He was expected to. He was a short price favourite. The boys in blue think an awful lot of him. I know that Hugo Palmer thinks a hell of a lot of Arbalet, who was back in third, firmly put in his place. Look, he's a nice horse. It's very early days, and I'm sure we're going to learn plenty more about him as the season progresses. I doubt that'll be his last run this season. So it's early enough to be firing that question my way, but at the moment, he's a promising juvenile, and the sky's the limit for him.
Indeed. And then finally, on to an older horse then, in the wake of Take Cover's Beverly Bullet win. Who's your favourite older horse and why? Take Cover is a horse that disappointed in the Nunthorpe, but came out and bossed things from the front, really, in the Beverly Bullet at the weekend. Do you have a particular old boy who's a real favourite of yours, Gareth?
I did, but he's dead now. Persian Punch was always my favourite, as... I mean, he was back, what, early 2000s now, but he was a horse that came in, season out. Not so sure about a favourite as such. I don't get so sort of sentimental about them these days, because
right.
I'm commentating on horses up and down the country. You know, you need to be quite, you know, you need to keep your opinions out of it, really, and your feelings out of it, and try and be quite impartial. So, I mean, and often, you know, you side with horses that have done you a favour, financially. So, but I mean, look, it was great. I love to see all these old horses that keep coming back and running creditably. You know, they're an absolute, you know, credit to their connections, aren't they? And Take Cover for David Griffiths and his team has been fantastic over the years. And for him to win that race on ground, which was probably lively enough for him as well, it was one heck of a performance to bounce out and boss what looked a real hot field for that race on the weekend. But yeah, I mean, as I say, current favourite horses, they're probably all over the sticks, but generally, looking back, Persian Punch was my all-time favourite for an older horse that raced on the flat, and his final season, if you take out the one where he only had the one run that ended in tragedy, his final season where he saw the whole season through was his very best.
Yeah, good stuff. It isn't something that we get to see a lot of on the flat, of course, just given very top-class horses go off to studs, so we don't get to see the great
exactly.
ones come back.
Exactly, and, you know, I think that's the reason why maybe jump racing just has it over flat racing in terms of popularity, because every year you see these horses come back, you can relate to them, you know what they're all about. You don't really have to look at the paper to find out what they've done. You know everything about them. And that's probably why National Hunt Racing, in my opinion, but I think generally the opinion of the nation as well, it does just topple flat racing in terms of popularity. They're just old heroes and they keep coming back for more.
Indeed, absolutely. Thank you for that. That's the Monday jury taken care of then for this week. Gareth's going to offer us a nap and a next best for Tuesday's action now. And we start with your second best bet of the day, Gareth. We'll build up, we'll save the best for last and go to Hamilton for the 2:25 race, Class 6 handicap over a mile. And 10 runners down to contest this race. Looks a little bit tricky on paper, but you think you may have found the answer to it.
Yeah, I don't think any of them in particular are going forward at a rate of knots, with the exception of the selection, Fleetfoot Jack, who found the winning thread here the other day. It was a race I called back on the 25th of August. It was here at Hamilton. Now, in fairness, he did beat a professional loser that day, without trying to sound too rude against him, Tesco Fella, who is just really struggling to get his head in front. And in this particular race, Tesco Fella, he had every chance. He had absolutely no excuses, and he still managed to get beaten. But Fleetfoot Jack, in all fairness, Fleetfoot Jack really accelerated in that final furlong, and he actually won the race going away by 3 1/4 lengths. I mean, he's reappearing just 11 days later, and he's just up against horses that generally are struggling to get their heads in front. So if he's in the same sort of form, I know it's not exactly a stable star that he beat last time out, but it was the manner of the success what impressed me. He's found the winning thread. He's still only a three-year-old. I think he's got more improvement to come.
Fleetfoot Jack then, a course and distance winner, the nod for Gareth in that 2:25 race at Hamilton, the next best, and the nap of the day in terms of Gareth's selections comes in Hexham's 5:10 race, an amateur rider's handicap hurdle, raced over a trip of 2 miles. Now, lots of people, Gareth, would see the title amateur rider's handicap hurdle and run for the hills. A lot of people do struggle with these races. Who's your idea of the winner?
Yeah, I'm not a lot of people. I like these races. you can sometimes get a little bit of an edge on them as well. And I see these jockeys quite a bit, obviously, point to point ranks and things like that. And Tim Vaughan, he brings up Ash Coon, who's going to be partnered by Welsh point to point jockey Evan David. Evan's a very capable pilot. He'll be taking £5 off as well. It's more so really that with the horses that Tim Vaughan brought up the north, I mean, he trains just west of Cardiff in a place called Cowbridge. And I mean, I'm from Cardiff originally. Cardiff up to here is a blooming long way, you know, particularly in a horse box. And the rate of success that he had with his horses that he was bringing up, quite a few of them were well handicapped. He just knew where he stood, I thought, Tim, with the northern form. And it might just be the case for this lightly raced six-year-old as well, Ash Coon, who's had two starts so far this term. He's had a 70-day break, so he'll be fresher than quite a few in this. And he's got some of the best form in the book, I can see, as well. So, as I say, I mean, I did have a horse in training at one point with Sandy Thompson, and Tim Vaughan come and beat us twice back last season. So I certainly have been studying the Tim Vaughan form lines with the horses that he's been bringing up. And this just might be another nice piece of placing. You know, it's a Hexham. It's their first meeting for quite some time. and this race might just have been in the offing for Ash Coombe for a while now. As I say, he's been off for 70 days. So, yeah, we'll take the shrewd Welsh handler to do it again.
Okay. Ash Coombe then for Gareth in that 5:10 race at Hexham. Just give us a quick recap then, if you would please, of your NB and your NAP for Tuesday.
The next best would be Fleetfoot Jack in the 2:25 at Hamilton Park, and at Hexham in the 5:10, the NAP, Ash Coombe.
Thank you very much. Make sure you tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio from 1:20 p.m. on Tuesday for all the action. Myself, Sam Norris, joined by Craig Forsyth and Andy Holding. Thank you for that, Gareth, and enjoy it on Tuesday.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.